Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. Sorry, you guys. I thought I was going to burp, so there was a weird pause. So this week, we are reviewing the 2021 French drama based on the true story of an Italian 17th century nun. This film stars, I'm probably going to butcher her name, Virginie Efira and Daphne Patakia. So Virginie plays the title character, Benedetta, and Daphne plays her alleged lover, Bartolomea. In this film, I'm moving on to talking about bread.
Okay.
So in this film, the characters talk about bread. At one point, Benedetta gets in trouble and the like head nun is like,
oh yeah,
no
the Reverend
bread
Mother
for a week or whatever. So it made me start thinking about bread because I love bread. And I wanted to know, what's your favorite type of bread?
Okay. My favorite type of bread is French bread.
Oh my God.
Because,
and this movie is French.
I know. We used to get it all the time from Food Max. And when I was younger, I used to really like only the inside of the bread. But my dad's like, no, because you're wasting all the bread, because he'd reach for some and there'd only be the outside. So he's like, you have to learn how to eat the outside too. It's really good. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I don't know why I spent all my time only eating the inside of the French bread. So now I like all parts of the French bread.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I love a lot of bread, but I do want to talk about when you get those French bread loaves as an adult, how do you eat them?
Usually sometimes I just get it not with like a meal. I'm just like, I really want French bread. So I'll like tear away at it.
Me too.
Every day.
Okay. My wife said that that's weird. And she said, you're being like a child or like an animal. I don't remember what she said, but she's like, you have to cut pieces
it
off.
Does
and I'm
make
like,
me
it's just
feel like an animal.
It.
I like doing it. Cause I'm like eating
it's
it from
so
there.
Good.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're just in the kitchen and you're like, ooh, there's the French bread. And you just like tear a piece of it off. And
it's like,
you know,
a perfect, like,
Hua sounds like my dad when he'd be like, even when I would tear it off after eating it, he's like, no, use a knife and cut it. Like you just tear it. And now there's like an ugly like chunk of it missing.
Yeah.
But now that I'm an adult, I can tear that bread however I want.
Well, I can, except my wife tries to be the parent and be like, you can't just tear the bread.
She's like, Caitlin, can you please use a knife?
That's so good.
You guys have to have two separate loaves.
Oh my
God. No, but then she'd be like, that's wasting because she's not going to eat.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, we recently have been buying like, you know, white bread because we've been making sandwiches sometimes. But like usually we don't buy bread. It's not like a staple in our house because we won't eat the whole loaf. We'll be like, I really want a sandwich one day. And then we use four pieces and then we don't make a sandwich. And then it goes bad.
Yeah.
But I fucking love bread. Okay. So my first love was sourdough bread.
Sourdough is so good.
Yes, so good. So when I was a kid, I loved like deli sandwiches, but I would get the most plain sandwich. It would be roast beef, American cheese, mustard on a sourdough roll. So good because I just love that sourdough roll. Like it's
it
like
ties it in,
and
huh?
You gotta like tear it with your teeth.
I don't know. It is like very like
animalistic. It's like jerky.
We're connecting with
it's so good. But I would say that my favorite bread now as a grown up, anytime a sandwich place has this. This mm-hmm. is my choice. Is Dutch Crunch?
Oh, have you had Dutch Crunch? I don't think so. No,
it's so good.
I don't think so. I'm like, I'll have to see, but I really don't.
It has like on the top. It has like these like little like brown pieces that are like sweet. Like they add like sugar or something. It's like a little bit sweet on there, and it adds like a little crunch because they're like almost like. They're like browner than the rest of it. So that's it's kind of like a little like Dutch crunch. It's so fucking good. They have it at, I want to say they have it at Mr. Pickles. They have it at Ike's Sandwich Shop, which is my favorite, but they closed the one near us. But if anybody has an Ike's near them, you need to go to Ike's.
I need to try it. It's so
good. And the first place I tried it, my friend who I've talked about on here before, I think, because this is my friend that I've been friends with since like 2005 or 2006. Mm-hmm. We became friends because people thought we were the same person.
Oh, so that friend. Yeah.
My friend, Kristen. People would be like, oh my God, Kristen. And Caitlin, I'm like, what? Kristen. But we apparently look alike. So then we met because people kept getting us confused. And then we it's became so friends. But she introduced me to Dutch Crunch because there was like a new place opening. And she ordered a sandwich with Dutch Crunch bread. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
Dutch Crunch.
And then I tried it and it was so good. And that was like, yeah, that was in like 2007.
No, this is my favorite bread now.
I love it. It's so good. But yeah, I guess I like most bread. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I don't really like wheat bread.
I like wheat bread, but it has to be a specific one. Like there's a specific one that Yami and I buy. I don't remember the name of it, but it has like seeds in there. And I kind of like it, depending, not just to chew on. Yeah. It has to be with something in there. But like the favorite bread, like obviously that would be the French bread for me. Because I can just eat it like with nothing else.
Yeah. So. I think I hate that. Okay. I had a thing at work and they like made us like lunches or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they made a vegan sandwich for me and they used that gross bread. And
the one that I like?
Yes. And Wah likes it too. I feel like it's a very vegan-y thing to like. They're like, oh, vegans, they're so healthy. They'll love like this nuts in there. Nut bread. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
yo, this is disgusting.
I made myself eat
disgusting.
It. Disgusting. I was like, oh, it's gross. I think because the first time I had that kind of bread, it was when I was a kid and I was like in preschool and my neighbor who was my friend, her mom was kind of like crunchy granola mom.
Oh, okay.
She was like, do you want a PB&J? And I was like, yeah. PB&J. Yeah. She made it with crunchy peanut butter on the seed and nut bread. No, that's whatever. Not. It was fucking gross. I thought there were bugs in it. And my mom told me that I had to eat whatever somebody gave me at their house. I can't be rude. So I was like forcing myself to eat it. And I was like, try not to gag. And you're I remember like, this very clearly from being four.
Oh, no. Okay, but that is kind of like.
It's traumatizing.
I would just regular bread. I do like that bread, but I wouldn't use it to do like a PB&J.
I love a PB&J with just the white bread, just like the regular the Wonder bread vibes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like how it gets all like weird and soft and sticks on your teeth. It's kind of gross, so, like, but it's good.
Nostalgic. Yeah.
Anyway, bread is so good. Let's move on to hot takes and or burning desires. Is there anything that you want to share?
Okay, yes. I have two. First of all, I know that this movie was very popular with our community because obviously lesbian nuns. And usually lesbian nuns are really cool. Like, I know you love that. That's like your thing.
I do because I think most nuns are lesbians. That's why they became nuns. Be. Exactly. They were like, how do I get away from men?
Oh, Mary Jesus.
Yes.
But I feel like... Spoiler, obviously, if you guys don't already know this, but I would low-key lose my mind, like Bartolomea, if my, like, situationship slash girlfriend was, like, in religious psychosis.
Oh, my God, I know. He was,
like, telling me, like, I'm married to Jesus and all this stuff. I'd be like – but also –
she's literally a nun.
Yeah, so she's literally a nun, so it makes sense.
But she was like, I'm seeing things. Like, Jesus told me this, you know?
But she's also really, like – quick, like she doesn't give up her act for anything. And so like it makes me, I guess I'm kind of shocked to see how quickly she's like, yeah, like you and I can have sex, like it's not wrong.
Yeah, because Jesus said
so. I'm like, but when did Jesus tell you that it's fine to be fucking Bartolomea? Because in the times that like she had her visions, he's just like, you're my bride, I'm together with you. I never remember him saying that. So I'm just like, I feel like she's picking and choosing.
Yeah.
So that's my hot take that I don't like that she picks and chooses.
She was also.
Like all people that believe in religion.
Yes. She was also kind of just like a bitch in general.
She honestly was. Like she was very toxic. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your hot takes?
Well, I said, Okay, well, I wrote this hot take before more weird stuff happened.
Like, this was your initial hot take?
Okay, my initial hot take, I said, I like all the boob stuff. But then the boob stuff got weird because then it turned into, like, spraying milk and stuff. And then I felt weird. And, yeah. But I do like boobs, but I don't know that I want someone to spray milk in my face.
You mean you don't want breast milk?
I mean, I would rather have human breast milk than cow breast milk. But I would only want it from my wife, not a random woman.
That is true.
Now,
yeah.
Someone's going to make an edit of this. Like, she has this kink. She
all
wants
lesbians
to,
want,
she
breast,
wants
milk.
Breast milk from her wife. Anyway, I said,
it's a kink.
I know. I'm going to be like, I make her take these hormones so that she'll lactate and then
she's
I
like,
can just suck
it.
On
oh my
them.
God. I'm no, so sorry, Juan. Juan's like going to hate this.
Cut. I said, Benedetta sucks and she's a creepy weirdo and she took advantage of an abused woman, Bartolomea.
She did.
Yeah. Bartolomea. And then I also wrote that the essay scenes and discussions were way too graphic and like, yeah, there should be a trigger warning before this whole movie.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was really fucked up. Like, I get they were trying to show us like the torture aspect, but I also feel like it was fucked up and it could be really triggering for a lot of people. And that's also true. The scene where like there was a scene where there's a scene where Bartolomea is being tortured and it's like a really
that
fucked up device.
Insane.
And then you hear her screaming and screaming. And I thought that was really fucked up. And then there's also a scene where Benedetta is like imagining that this guy is going to rape her.
Yeah.
And like all these men are holding her down. And I just felt like it was like super like scary. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is like really going to happen. Cause they showed him like coming up and like starting to get undressed and then she like got saved or something. I don't know. I just felt like it was weird and it was too graphic. So that was, I had a lot of feelings about this movie overall. Anywho, we're going to take a quick breaky now. So try not to fuck anyone with a wooden Virgin Mary figurine while we are away. Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Benedetta.
Benedetta. Benedetta. I just keep wanting to say that, but I won't say
Benedetta.
That for the whole. Yeah, I won't do the whole thing. So, I like how I changed my hot take. I said movie kind of sucked.
Oh, well, that's kind of also how I felt.
Yeah, but then I felt like those other two that I mentioned were more important for sure. To me, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so this movie is set in the 17th century, so that is the 1600s.
Yeah, we were having a problem earlier trying to remember what that meant.
But I believe that you're right.
I Googled it.
Yeah, we fact-checked. So, yes, 1600s, 17th century. And the movie begins with Benedetta as a child with her family. They're, like, making the journey to Pescia for her to take the veil, which means that she's going to be a nun. Like, she's going to go into the convent and live there and grow up to be a nun. So then her family obviously like wants this for her. And also Benedetta seems like she wants this too. Like, she is very
She's also like nine.
She's nine, but I feel like she's like, yeah, like I'm doing this. Like, I love this. She has like a little Virgin Mary like statue that her mom gave her. And she's like singing to a big statue. And then, like, these men come and they're going to rob them. And then Benedetta is, like, very outspoken. And she's just like, well, the Virgin Mary told me that, like, if you do that, something's going to happen to you. And then, like, a bird shits on one of the guys. And then he's like, ah, all right, here's the necklace back.
And the funny part, too, is didn't he only have one eye? And it shit
in
his one eye.
The one eye that, like, is actually, like,
his
there.
Only eye. And now it got shit on.
But I do like that he had a sense of humor. And he was like, ah, all right, here's that back.
I guess
back.
You're right.
So then Benedetta goes to the convent and she meets Sister Felicita.
The old lady?
Yeah, but she's young there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's like her when she's young because she has her daughter Christina behind her like helping her. And so basically Benedetta's like getting ready for the night and stuff, but they tell her she cannot use that statue. They have their own statue that they pray to. So she just like puts it away in a little drawer. And later that night, Benedetta, like, goes to pray to that statue, and it falls on her. And the other nuns are like, oh, my God, are you okay? And she – oh, yeah, I know what you're already going to say. So when it falls, the Virgin Mary's breast is exposed, and Benedetta, like –
It was so funny.
She's like, she like goes to like suck on it, but then like the other nuns come and she's just like, oh, like she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Nothing happens to her. And they're just like, wow, that's a miracle. And
it was just so funny that that was her first instinct, because
then when it like fell on her, she's
and,
like,
one, I both were like, oh my God, is she gonna like suck on the nipple? And then she's like,
She's like, No, she knew who she was from a young age.
I'm not gonna do it, girl.
So yeah, so then now fast forward 18 years later, we see Benedetta is portraying the Virgin Mary in a reenactment in front of like the other nuns and like her family and all the other people, like the other townspeople. And Benedetta's like super into this. Like she genuinely believes that she is the Virgin Mary, or that like, I mean, it does make sense. Like, she is a nun. But, like, her visions are a little different from the other nuns. Yeah. Because as she's, like, being lifted up because she's dead, being lifted up to Jesus, she sees a vision of Jesus telling her, like, that you're my wife. And she's like, oh, my God, yes. Like, I accept. I'll be. She's like, duh. And then afterwards, they enjoy a feast and they're talking about the plague. So the plague is going on and it's really bad in other parts of the country, but it's yet to hit near them. They're just like, oh my God, it's coming. And and one of their own died. I forgot who. He's unimportant, but they're just like, yeah.
Somebody died.
Yeah, someone died. Yeah. And then outside, there is a woman named Bartolomea. She is like pleading to be taken into the convent, and the guy, I forgot his name. Giuliani? Carlini?
The dad?
The dad that's like, no, the other one that was sitting next to the Reverend Mother, which is Sister Felicita. Anyways, she's like begging to be taken in there, and her dad comes and is like, no, I'm taking her back. And she's like, no, I don't want to go back. And then they're like, yeah, of course. The Reverend is kind of a bitch, the Reverend Mother. She's like, no, we cannot take her in, blah, 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 whatever. And Carlini's like, yeah, we're going to take her in. And the dad's like, well, then I need to get some money from this because I'm selling my daughter to here.
Also,
which is crazy.
He just refers to her as like his whore.
Yeah.
Like,
which is
it's
insane.
Gross. And then we do find out later why he refers to her that way.
Yeah.
Because he treats her like not like a daughter.
Mm-mm. So eventually she does. Bartolomea is accepted into the convent, and Benedetta is like helping her bathe and stuff. And Bartolomea is so funny because she's like, obviously didn't grow up in this convent. So she's just like, oh yeah, like showing herself naked. And Benedetta's like, oh my God. And then I just thought it was so funny. She's like, where do I take a shit? Like,
oh,
I have to go take a shit.
So funny.
And Benedetta's like, okay, I'll show you. So then they sit next to each other to take a shit.
Yeah.
And it's so hilarious because she's like farting. She's like, is that allowed? Because she's not. Benedetta's like, keep your voice down. Like, we're not supposed to be loud. But then she's like, I hope this is allowed.
She's like, I told you I had to take a shit.
She's like, I'm shitting. And then also, I think it's so crazy, but obviously, it's obvious that they had to use like the little like leaves thingy, like the hay, whatever in the back. And I'm like, oh my God. But when she does that, Bartolomea is like gonna wipe. You see her legs are like bruised, cut up. And Benedetta's like, oh my God, who did that to you? And then, like Caitlin mentioned, Bartolomea shares that her mother died. And so the father basically treated her like a wife, and so did her brothers. And she was being sexually abused and
so
physically
sad.
Abused. So that's why she like wanted to run away. Mm-hmm. Because also, I do like that she was able to stab him, and then she like wanted to run away. So Benedetta obviously feels like sad for her. And then something really gay happens because Benedetta's like, you're beautiful. And Bartolomea's like, oh, I don't know. I never knew because we don't have mirrors.
Aww.
So Benedetta's like, look into the reflection of my eyes and like you can see yourself. So they're just like staring at each other really closely.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking gay.
Lesbian eye contact. Yeah,
because like,
it's like you can see yourself in
look
my
at
eyes.
Me. Yeah. And it's also like late at night, because obviously they only have like the fire to keep the like lit up. Mm-hmm. And then Christina, which is the Reverend's mother's daughter, comes and she's like, what are you doing? And they are interrupted.
They're like, we were shitting.
And she's like, I had to show her where she could take a shit.
Yeah.
And then before they part, because their rooms are like separated by curtains, Bartolomea kisses Benedetta. Benedetta goes to her room. She starts praying and she's like, you got to help her. She's like, maybe she's here for a reason, but like, we got to help her. I feel so bad for her. And then And then the next day, they're like, I don't know what else to call it other than like a choir practice thing.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Singing. It seems like to me. So Bartolomea comes up behind Benedetta and she's like touching her back, like very sensually. And then she like grabs her butt and Benedetta is like, and then she gets a vision of her in the like, place oh, that they're yeah. practicing. She yeah. does a song and she's like,
it's giving like that's so Raven. Like,
yeah, like she literally gets those visions like exactly. Yeah. If you're watching us on YouTube, Caitlin did a perfect like.
I tried. We should do that trend on TikTok. Have you seen
we
people?
Should. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do one. You guys will see it. But she gets a vision just like that of a snake attacking her in the church that they're in. And then Jesus saves her and then they kiss. Mm. And she's like, oh my God. But then oh back to reality. Benedetta is like reaching out and saying like, I'll stay with you in front of everyone. And they're like, girl, what the hell is wrong with you? And she just like goes back and starts singing. I like how no one asked her. She's just like,
they're like
doing her
weird.
Own thing. Like she's in her vision. And then they resume singing. And then later that day during confession, Benedetta confesses to the priest that she's seen Jesus in the flesh. And she's like, he's speaking to me. And the priest is like, I don't believe you because he asked her, do you feel like, what do you feel when you see him? And she's like, I feel like fear. And he's like, that's not the real Jesus. Like, that's not true because you should feel joy when you see him. But Benedetta's
he's just jealous
like,
because he's never seen him.
Exactly. Benedetta's like, okay. And then he tells her that she will know if it's real through suffering. And so she's like, hell yeah, I'm gonna take that to heart, literally. Mm-hmm. And then later that day, Christina and the other nuns are like working because obviously they do everything there. They're creating like, they have like these little like vials. Like bobbins, they call them, of silk.
Yeah, I was like so confused.
When she said bobbins, I was like, the fuck are the bobbins? And then she said bobbins of silk. So I was like, okay. That makes more sense to me.
Sewing machines have bobbins, right? Isn't that something you use on a sewing machine? But I was like, I don't think they have machines yet.
No, they just had them in like those little like vial thingies. Yeah. So Christina's like holding that and Bartolomea accidentally like bumps into her. And Christina drops those bobbins into like the boiling water. And Christina's like, oh my God, look what you made me do. These are expensive. And Bartolomea's fighting back because she didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
And then Benedetta comes to Christina's like rescue and is like, no, you did that. Stop talking back. Reach in there and get them out. And
yeah, in everyone's the boiling like, fucking water.
Christina's like, it's hot, like it's boiling. And Benedetta's like not taking her eyes off of Bartolomea. She's like, get them. And Bartolomea is like, I'm not gonna back down. I don't care. So she reaches her hand in. I don't know how she does it without not screaming. She like grabs a couple and her hand is like fucked up.
Yeah.
And then Benedetta's like, get all of them. Oh, and so Bartolomea's like, okay. And she sticks her hand in there. But Christina stops her because she's like, stop. You need to go to the infirmary.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what's going on here? And Benedetta's like, she's getting them out. She dropped them in there. And so Benedetta's fucking insane.
Yeah.
So she, I'll get to that part right now. But Bartolomea is badly burned and Reverend Mother scolds Benedetta because she's like, why did you do that? Do you like hate her? Do you feel affection towards her? Like what's going on? And Benedetta's like, well, the priest told me that suffering brings you closer to God. So I'm trying to make her like feel pain so that she can get closer to God. So she's like, yeah, I was purposely trying to hurt her, but I'm not like, I don't feel any malice towards her. Like, yeah. I just want to help her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, that's insane.
Yeah, and she's not the boss.
Also, the fact that Bartolomea would continue a relationship with her after she made her stick her hand in there, like, that's crazy. But yeah, so then that is where Reverend Mother says, you are going to help Sister Jacoba and you are not going to have bread for a week because you fucked up.
No bread.
Yeah, so Benedetta is forced to help Sister Jacoba, who I feel like has breast cancer, right? That's what I was getting.
That's what they were trying to show us.
Because she has like her boob is like really like lumped and like it almost looks black because with the tumors there,
yes,
right?
Yes, and I did think that was interesting because I guess I don't know what untreated cancer looks like and like what it would physically like look like if the person like didn't get chemo or a mastectomy or whatever. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was like before they really knew what
like what even to do.
Cancer was. Yeah. She's just like dying.
Yeah. So Benedetta has to help her. And then the next morning, Bartolomea runs to see Benedetta, as do the other nuns, because Benedetta's like screaming in her bed.
Yeah, she's so she's
like
annoying.
Screaming. She's in pain. They're like, holy shit, what's wrong with her? Get the doctor, get the abbess, which there's so many names for Felicita, the old lady. She's yeah. Reverend Mother, Abbess Felicita. But that's like the highest honor, yeah. basically. And so they get the doctor and they're like, we don't see anything wrong with her. She has like black vial in her urine, which is normal. I guess that's normal for their time.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
I was like, oh my God. And so they just give her poppy juice and they tie her up.
They just make her like super high.
They give her poppy juice. Yeah. They just make her really high and they tie her hands up. So she's like in bed with her hands tied back yeah. so that she doesn't like do anything.
And she's like, this kind of like turned me on.
She's like, ooh, I like this. BDSM. I was possessed there for a second.
Yeah.
That's like, they created it then.
Yeah.
So then Bartolomea later that day asked Benedetta, like, why is she so cruel to her? Because she shows her her hand and Benedetta's like still tied up and not mm-hmm. saying anything. And then she's like, do you want to be with me? Because I want to be with you. And then she kisses her and then she leaves, which is kind of crazy because yeah. it's like one day to the next, like you already forgot that. Okay.
It's also like really sad, but I think it's like shows like her whole life, she's been like traumatized and yeah. abused by people. And so even though this person literally like made her hurt herself, mm-hmm. she's like, I love her and I want to be like, with yeah, her. Yeah,
she's kind to me in other ways.
Yeah.
Like this is just that part God, of it.
It's and so I'm, sad.
Yeah. And so then in a vision that night, Benedetta is like shot by arrows in her hands. This is the scene. So trigger warning here, since the movie didn't give that to you guys. She's having a vision and there's like these men surrounding her and they like shoot arrows through her hands and she's like beaten and she's almost raped by these men, but she is saved by Jesus and he like kills them all. But then she realizes that that is not the real Jesus. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, who are you? You're not real. And he's like, you're going to be my bride. And he like hits her and like cuts her. So like he cuts her boob and it almost looks like he's about to rape her as well.
Yeah.
But then she's like out of her vision and she wakes up screaming and she's given more poppy juice. So she's like going through it. She's going through these visions and it's like manifesting into reality because she's like
they're giving her screaming drugs, and like yeah, opiates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then she learns she's getting a roommate to help care for her. So they have like a very thin curtain separating their rooms. And it's Bartolomea. She's the only nun who offered to do this.
Yeah, she's like, I'll take care of her.
She's like, I will do this. And then Benedetta's kind of mad because she's like, why are you doing this? And Bartolomea's like, I just want to help you. So it's okay. And so then Bartolomea finds Benedetta's dress that she arrived in, as well as the virgin statue that her mother gifted her. And then Benedetta's like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Like you came back to me, basically. And then later that night, as Benedetta's getting ready for bed, they have like these nightgowns. And obviously, like they're not wearing like any bras or underwear. Yeah, so like
did they exist yet?
I don't think so. They I know just bras have their, didn't,
but I feel like Underwear didn't either. Even in like the 1800s, they wore like long bloomer things,
yeah.
right?
So. Yeah. So they just have like their nightgowns that they dress into, like they get dressed into. And Bartolomea's like, I want to see you naked. Benedetta's like, no, we're not allowed to be seen nude. Like it's against like what we believe in here. And so then Bartolomea's like, fine, I'll go to this side. But then as a joke, she like takes Benedetta's nightgown and like puts it over to like her side of the room. So she does get to see Benedetta naked.
Creepy.
Yeah. And Bartolomea's like, I'm just joking. It's a joke.
And she's but like, that's a weird like, joke.
That's not funny to me.
Yeah.
Which I agree, Bartolomea, that is creepy. If yeah. she says she didn't want to be seen naked, don't make her, yeah. don't force her. And so then in a dream, it's later that night again, Jesus appears before her and he's like crucified on the cross. And he basically is like, come to me, take off your clothes and put your hand on mine. And when she does, she like feels his pain. So as soon as she like puts her hands on him, you can see like her hands bleeding and she's just like, oh my God, like what the fuck? So then she wakes Bartolomea up by like, she's yelling and Bartolomea sees like there's these gashes on her hands and she's like, holy fuck.
Stigmata.
Yeah, which is the stigmata. So then later that day, because I feel like it was like morning slash day, but then she's like all dressed. And Benedetta like comes to the choir practice and she's like showing her hands and feet basically. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, the stigmata. And they're like, oh my God, holy fuck. And then the Reverend Mother is like, that's interesting. Like, when did it happen to you? Because usually, apparently the stigmata happens when you're in prayer, because it's happened before to other people. And they're like, yeah, it happened when they were praying because they're really close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Benedetta's like, no, this happened to me in bed. Like
in my sleep. When I was having my vision.
Yeah, with my husband Jesus.
Yeah.
So the Reverend Mother is like, fine, let's call the doctor and let's call the provost. Something which is like, he's like part of, like, he's like higher up than the Reverend Mother, but yeah. I don't remember his name other than the provost.
He's not the Pope, but he's higher up than.
Yeah. Then the
people.
Reverend Mother, yeah. So they examine her and the doctor's like, her wounds are really deep and they won't stop bleeding. But the Reverend Mother is still skeptical because she's like, usually when that happens, you would also have like wounds on your head because of the thorn crown that Jesus had to wear. And Benedetta's sort of like, whatever. Like, she looks mad. Mm-hmm. And the provost is still like, he believes her more, but he's listening to the Reverend Mother. So then Benedetta is excused and Bartolomeo is like helping her back to her bed. But then Benedetta is like, I need to pray. Leave me here with the statue. And they like go talk about wine and they talk about other stuff, the provost and the Reverend Mother. And then they hear Benedetta screaming and they're like, holy fuck. So they all go to see her. And she has like wounds. She has like a wound on her head. She's bleeding. And then she starts speaking, like almost like she's possessed and it's like a man's voice. I call her Jesus voice.
Yeah.
It's Jesus speaking through her. And he's like, blasphemy, like you, oh wait. Oh yeah. But before, when Benedetta was getting exam, she's like, my head does hurt. There's just no, like, I don't have anything on there. So then, basically he's claiming to be Jesus and that Piscia will be spared of the plague because of his wife, Benedetta. And he warns them not to harass her anymore. Yeah. He's like, stop. This is all you're doing. And it's just pissing everyone off.
Yeah.
And then Christina tells her mother that Benedetta fell. And then she sees like glass on the floor. And so then she tells her mother, which is literally her mother. She's like, I don't believe her, but I didn't see her cut herself.
Yeah.
So they don't believe her, but and they don't have proof that she's the one that cut herself. So they're like, okay. And then the provost is like, I don't want God's fury to be unleashed on us. So I believe her. Yeah. And the Reverend Mother is like, oh my God, that's stupid. And then outside, all the townspeople are like leaving food and gifts and praying for Benedetta because they heard about it. They're like, oh my God, she's so like, she's touched by God.
Yeah.
And then Christina's like arguing with her mom. She's like, no, God is not speaking through Benedetta. Like, this is all like a...
She just wants attention.
Yeah, she just wants attention. But then later that night, Benedetta is like laying in bed. And as I said, their bed's literally like this, like the space from Caitlin and I. And there's like a curtain and she's like laying down and her boob is exposed. And she's like, Jesus gave me a brand new heart. Do you want to feel it? So Bartolomeo reaches over and like touches her boob.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God.
And then Bartolomeo's like touching her boob. But then they're loud. They're not doing anything, just touching boobs. And then the other nuns come in and they're like, what's going on? And they're like,
we're just touching boobs.
So like, she just had a nightmare. That's all.
Mm-hmm. That's like in, what is it? Lost and Delirious. She's like, I sleep in her bed because she has nightmares.
I sleep in her bed naked. She has nightmares. Yeah, she gets scared. So then the next morning, the provost tells the church and like he does like a ceremony in front of everyone. And he says that Benedetta has been chosen by God. And therefore she will be the new abbess. And so Reverend Mother is no longer Reverend Mother. She's being relinquished of her duties and title. And then Christina, her daughter, is like, what the fuck? No, we should choose the new abbess, like the sisters of the convent, not her. And basically is like calling her out. Mm-hmm. And then Abbess Felicita is like, stop. Don't say anything else. So she's made into the new. Benedetta is made into the new abbess. And then Benedetta and Bartolomeo move all their stuff into her new private room.
Yeah.
And they're like so excited. They're like, woo, like all of this. And then Sister Jacoba dies, which is kind of, it's sad. Yeah. But at least she's not suffering. Yeah. That must have really hurt. Well.
Yeah.
And then later that day, Christina lies to the priest during confession. And she says that she saw Benedetta cut herself with glass. And so the priest is like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And then in their room later that night, Benedetta basically teaches Bartolomea like how to write a little bit. And then they have sex.
Yeah.
Because it's already like you could tell that was already going to happen.
Is this where she puts the nightgown over her face?
Yes. So
I thought that was really hot.
It was hot, but I honestly couldn't get behind it just because I genuinely hated Benedetta.
I know. She's,
I was like, dude, you are pretty, but you suck ass so bad. But I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. So they do have sex. And then
wait, can we talk about it?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So in the sex scene, she like Bartolomea is like very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And she like I don't remember exactly how it happens, but basically she like puts Benedetta on the bed, like on the edge of the bed, and she like pulls her nightgown up like over her face. Mm-hmm. And so like she's naked, and then Benedetta gets like on top of her and is kind of like grinding on her, but then she's like also like fingering her. And then Benedetta is really into it, and she's like, go deeper, like deeper, deeper. And she's like, my fingers can't reach. That's important she's for
like,
later.
Yeah. She's like, I have to tell you. They're just my fingers. So yes, thank you for explaining.
Sorry, you're totally really fine. You guys.
So then the next day during breakfast, when everyone is all there, the priest is like, apparently there's something going on. Christina has something to say. And Christina's like in front of everybody. And he's like, yeah, get up here and speak your truth, basically. Yeah. Like say what you told me. And so then Christina's like, all right, I believe everyone here feels the same way about Benedetta. She's lying. And I saw her cut herself with glass. And so Reverend Mother, or not Reverend Mother anymore, but Sister Felicita is like, what the fuck? Like yeah, looking like at her because Christina told her that she didn't see anything. And then the priest asks Sister Felicita, he's like, did you – oh, because Christina says, I told the Reverend Mother, and she didn't do anything about it. And then the priest is like, is this true? And the Reverend Mother is like, no, it's not true. She did not cut herself. Like, Christina did not see that.
Yeah.
So then the priest is fucking pissed. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck? And then Benedetta, using her Jesus voice, says that Satan has possessed Christina. It is her Jesus voice, right?
No, I'm just thinking, of course, she's like, this bitch tried to say that I was
like,
lying.
She's
like,
possessed. She's pissed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she says she needs to flagellate herself, which Christina's means, like, yeah, it's like whipping yourself on the back. And Christina's like, what the fuck? No. But Sister Felicita has to step aside and be like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So Christina's forced to do that in front of everyone. And then her mother's just like, yeah. And then in their room later that day, Bartolomea is like sitting there carving the bottom of the Virgin statue into a dildo so that she can fuck Benedetta with it.
Yes.
And Benedetta, so this is what's crazy to me.
Yeah.
When Benedetta comes in, Bartolomea shows her and she's like, oh, it's like kind of sharp here. And Bartolomea's like, let me keep carving that, smooth it out. She's like, so we can try it because, you know, this will be long enough, like deeper enough
can
for
reach
you.
Farther. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it's so crazy that Benedetta is like super holy, whatever, but is okay with getting fucked by her mother's virgin statue.
Yes, I know.
I think that's so crazy. But she's anyways.
Like, okay. Jesus told me it would be fine.
Yeah. So then they start having sex, but through a hole in the wall, Sister Felicita sees them having sex and she sees Bartolomea putting the makeshift dildo in Benedetta.
That's made of the Virgin Mary.
It's made of the Virgin Mary.
Statue thing. Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. And Benedetta fucking loves this shit, obviously.
she's losing her mind. I mean, she already lost her mind. She's fucking crazy. But she's losing her mind in the bedroom right now.
Yeah, she's like, yes. And then Sister Felicita's like looking through the hole with one eye. She's like, what the fuck? So then literally like after they have sex, Bartolomea sees something red in the sky. So everyone goes out there and Benedetta's like, oh my God, it's a comet that's like passing through. So like they have the church and like the town and then it's like the sky is literally red and it's like over the town. And then the priest comes and is like, this is a warning that like something bad's going to happen. And while all this is happening, Christina is like climbing to the rooftop and Sister Felicita sees her and is like, holy fuck. And she tries to stop her, but she cannot. So Christina jumps to her death. And it is really sad because obviously she did that because she was forced to flagellate herself in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. And she was embarrassed that her mom didn't back her up either. And
even though
all this other stuff.
She did lie.
Even though she did lie. So yeah. And so then obviously Sister Felicita is like distraught and doesn't want Benedetta to like go near her at all. And they kind of like fight a little bit. And then Benedetta is like, I can save her. I can save her soul because she's going to be in hell since she committed suicide.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, Benedetta, read the fucking room, girl. And then, okay, so yeah. And then later on, Benedetta finds out that Sister Felicita has gone to Florence to see the nuncio. He is a step down, like he's a representative of the Pope.
That's what, he's who I Florence. Thought we were talking about before when we were talking about the provost.
Yeah, the provost is like that other dude. Yeah. So then she's like on her way to Florence to go see the nuncio because she's like, I'm gonna tell them that they fucked and they did all this other shit.
Yeah.
And then then Benedetta basically tells Bartolomea like what's going on. And she's like, I don't know if I actually like did those things or like if I did that to myself, but I know that like God is working through me. So it's real.
Yeah.
And Bartolomea has questioned all of this, but she kind of doesn't give a fuck because she's like, eh, whatever.
She's like, I love her.
Exactly. But Benedetta is like, I know that you're scared that Sister Felicita is going to tell the nuncio about our relationship because she's like, obviously this is a crime. Like this cannot, it's a sin for them. And Bartolomea is like, girl, why are you not scared? And Benedetta's like, there's nothing to be ashamed about. Like, I'm holy. I say we can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, God is speaking through me. And then something weird happens because Bartolomea refuses to have sex with her. So Benedetta's like, all right, just show me your boobs.
Yeah.
Well, she's like masturbating. And then Bartolomea does it. Like, she's like, fine, here are my boobs. And then when she finishes, Benedetta gets a vision. And she like falls to the floor and she tells Bartolomea, like, dig a grave, please. Like, the nuns are gonna need to dig a grave.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, girl, you're so fucking dramatic.
Yeah.
And then we see Sister Felicita has arrived in Florence and the nuncio is a fucking pig too.
Yeah.
Because there's that woman that's helping him and she's like pregnant. He's just like staring at her all like disgusting.
Yeah.
And Sister Felicita tells him what's going on and he's like, well, you do know that if I have to go down there and there's like no proof of this, you're going to get a punishment. But if it's true, Benedetta is going to be burned at the stake. And she's just like, well, come on down. Like, let's go. But when she does arrive, like the entire, like, I want to say basically that whole town, but it looks like just from where Sister Felicita like steps off of like the little carriage thing, mm-hmm. everyone is dying of the plague.
Yeah.
Like there are sick people everywhere. And so, so basically they're like on their way back. They're going to go over there.
When she met that pregnant lady, the pregnant lady sprayed milk at her.
Yes, her she boob. Sprayed milk at her from her boob. And the nuncio was just like,
He's like,
that's just what happens.
Yeah.
So then in the courtyard, Benedetta, they have like this whole, I don't really know what it's called, but they are like it's a ceremony in like the courtyard and they have like a crucified Jesus statue and there's like people carrying shit. And like Benedetta goes up there and says that she had a vision that Pescia will be spared from the plague. And she's like, don't worry. Like we will be okay. And everyone is like, oh my God, yay. Like, thank you so much. Like, they're so happy that they will not get the plague. Mm-hmm. And then Benedetta tells the guards to close the abbey and not let anyone in so that they will be protected. And then literally as they're all walking back, she like falls to the floor and Bartolomea, it appears that she's died.
Yeah.
And Bartolomea is like, oh my God, was this grave for you?
Yeah.
And so then we don't find anything out. We just see Sister Felicita and the nuncio like heading into town or heading in before. And there's like people sick with the plague. But once they get to there, the guards will not let them in because they're like, we don't care that you're the nuncio, you're a representative of the Pope. We are dealing with Jesus's word here, his yeah. authority, since Benedetta told them and they believe that she's being spoken through. And the provost comes out and is like, you can stay over there, but before you come in here, you need to be checked out by a doctor. And they're like, sorry to tell you, Benedetta has died. And he's like, well, then let me stay for the funeral. And I'm like, what the fuck? So she died. And then they all decide to stay, but they go in for her funeral and she's like laying in this thing. And the nuncio is like gonna bless her. And then she fucking wakes up and she's yeah. like, I was in heaven, I was at peace. And now you guys brought me back here to earth and I saw everyone's future, like in a vision, I saw everyone's like outcome. And then literally as soon as like she says that, the nuncio is like, well, you've been accused of blasphemy and you're going to be investigated. And gives her like this paper and she's like, the fuck?
So good thing you're alive.
Yeah, cause he's like, well, I'm really glad that you're awake now. Yeah. And so then they do. They have like, it looks like I guess their version of court because there's yeah. other nuns and like the nuncio and the provost and like everyone is there and they like say, you're being accused of this. And Benedetta and Bartolomea deny the accusations.
Yeah.
But then Bartolomea is taken away by nuncio's men and another trigger warning. They take her down to like this basement area and she's like tied with chains. Well, yeah, like her hands and feet are like chained up. And she keeps denying that they did anything wrong. She only confesses that she wished one of the sisters would die. But mm-hmm. she's like, that's my sin. Mm-hmm. And the nuncio is a sick little fuck because he's yeah. like, well, you're just gonna, we'll see like if you say the truth. And then the guy, I don't remember his name, but it's only her. It's only Bartolomea and that dude in the red.
Torturer.
Yeah, the torturer dude. And he's just like, well, we'll see if like you tell the truth basically and gets this like, contraption that looks almost like, what is it called? The speculum.
Oh,
it almost yeah. looks like that, but like a fucked up version of it when you get like a pap smear and they put it in you
yeah,
and they like open you up. This one's like metal and like crazy and Bartolomea is like screaming.
Once it's inside her to yeah. hurt her more from the inside.
Yeah, so really Bartolomea is screaming and then we see Benedetta's upstairs crying because she hears Bartolomea screaming because she knows she's being tortured. And then, oh yeah, and then we see Sister Felicita throwing up blood because that bitch has the fucking plague. Because
she went to go see the
yeah. nuncio. But she doesn't say anything. And then Benedetta is confronted by the men because Bartolomea has had enough of the torture and leads the men to the cutout book with the dildo in there. And they're like, take her away. And Bartolomea is like, yeah, you forced me to do this. And you forced me to sin because I honestly don't blame her. Like, she's being yeah. fucking tortured.
Yeah.
And Benedetta's not saying anything.
No, Benedetta's a bitch.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't like her.
Yeah. So she's taken away.
She made the whole thing up for attention.
She did. Yeah. She's like, this got a little too out of hand. So now I really got to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
So
and
she's.
This is based on a true story. I don't know if the real nun made it up or not, but I kind of think she did because I yeah. don't really believe in
okay.
Jesus. But
I have something to say about that.
Okay,
I'm like, okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I will say about that after. But mm-hmm. she's taken away and she's just like, well, damn. And then yeah. the nuncio is notified of Sister Felicita's condition. And they're like, yeah, she's got the fucking plague. And he's like, take her to the basement. Keep her quiet. Don't let anyone know. And burn everything. Because he's like, fuck, I was in contact with her. And he's scared that he also has the yeah. plague. And then Bartolomea is being dressed in like normal clothes because she's getting kicked out of the convent. So she's spared from being tortured, but she's getting kicked out. And then the provost tells the nuncio that the people will not let them burn Benedetta. And he's like, I don't care. Like, she's got to be burned at the stake. Like, this is what happens. She committed a sin. Yeah.
Do bad stuff.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So then Benedetta's final request is to pray with Sister Felicita and like beg for her forgiveness. And the nuncio's like, fine, go ahead. She can do that. And then he also has the plague, but he's hiding that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes down. The hell did I write? Oh, yeah. So then she goes down to see Sister Felicita and she's just like, basically, Sister Felicita is like, are you happy to see that I'm dying? And she's like, no, I'm not. But she just keeps up this like holy act the entire
yeah.
time. And then she whispers something to Sister Felicita and then we cut to the next day where they're like carrying her out because she's going to be burnt at the stake. And then Bartolomea gets up there, or Bartolomea is there in the crowd because she's like, oh my God, I don't want her to get burnt alive. And then Benedetta says in her Jesus voice that like, you betrayed me. And like the entire town, no one's going to be spared. And she shows her hands are like bleeding and stuff. And Bartolomea's like, oh my God, if we let her die, then we're going to all be cursed. So she kind of like incites a riot. Mm-hmm. And then the people start to attack the nuncio and his men. And Bartolomea like goes to untie the rope so she can free Benedetta. And she notices like a piece of like a pot that Benedetta broke while she was talking to Sister Felicita. And she sees like some blood on it. So she's like, oh, of course she did that to like, you know, do a show. And like save herself. But again, Bartolomea doesn't care. She's like, I'm going to help you. And then the people stab the nuncio, and then Benedetta is like praying for him.
But also when Felicita came out to show them that she had the plague. And she said, the nuncio brought this to you.
Oh, yes. So I skipped that part.
Really incited the riot as well, because they were like, are you fucking kidding me?
And girl, so you didn't need to come here. You want to burn Benedetta.
Yeah.
And now look at this. So they I think Benedetta told Sister Felicita, like, you should do this. And like, you know, this will like basically get your revenge-ish sort of. And so then, they stab the nuncio, and then Benedetta's like, I'll pray for you, whatever. And he's like, tell me, like, when you saw my future, am I in paradise or in hell? And Benedetta's like, you're in paradise. And he's like, wow, you lied to the very end. And then he dies.
He's like, there's no way.
He's like, bitch, what the fuck? And then he dies, and Bartolomea's like, come on, let's go. So she drags Benedetta away. And then Sister Felicita walks into the fire and dies.
Yeah, she's like, I'm dying. I have the plague.
Exactly. And then the next day we see that Benedetta and Bartolomea are like in this hideout area. It's like a really shabby house. Yeah. And they had sex. That's what it seems like. They're naked. Yeah. And Benedetta goes out to like the hill area, and she sees that like, or she hears the town bell ringing, and she's like, I gotta go back. And Bartolomea's like, girl, there's nothing there anymore. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, we're free. Stay here with me. We can like go anywhere we want. And Benedetta's like, no, I have to go back. Like, what do you mean? And Bartolomea's like, girl, I know that you did this to yourself. Like, it's just you and me here. You can tell the truth. And Benedetta's like, you still don't believe me. She's and Bartolomea's like, you're fucking insane that you believe everything that you did is
okay.
Like, truthful and okay. Yeah. And so then Benedetta's like, sorry, I gotta go. And she fucking walks. Oh, yeah. She says she must go back, and that she believes that they will not burn her. The flames will not burn her. Mm-hmm. And so then she leaves. And then we see Benedetta like walking back into town, and Bartolomea is like fucking pissed. She's like, go die then. Like, go die in hell. And I honestly don't blame her. Like, that's so crazy. And then after the camera like pans to the mountains, and the credits say that Sister Benedetta was denied martyrdom and lived to be 70 years old. She was just confined to the convent of the Theatines there. And sometimes she was allowed to eat with her sisters on the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, well, damn. Mm-hmm. And then they said that the plague that had taken over everywhere did spare Pisa. So again, this is based on a true story, but like we said, we don't know if like, they said, I did read that the burning at the stake was made up, if like she was to be found guilty or whatever, but like everything else, she was saying that yeah, this happened to me. I just think she had a lot of mental illnesses.
Yeah,
and I think so too. She was like, this is going to work for me. Yeah. Like, I can do this. And she almost could have got out of it if she had just been with Bartolomea.
I know.
But she was too fucked up. She was too far gone.
Yeah, she's like literally delusional.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the end of the movie.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for that. So we're not doing Munch Merch Murder for this movie, but we're going to give our key takeaways. And I wanted to see if you have any that you want to share.
Yes. So the key takeaway for me is definitely like, even though Benedetta was a really fucked up person and she did a lot of fucked up things, it still goes to show that like the system that was created back then and even now is like always against women. Oh my God, you know, yes. Even if she was going through her religious thing, I do love that she believed that what her and Bartolomeo were doing was not a sin. Mm-hmm. And it's just everyone else saying that. Like, she never once apologized. She never, like, repented. She's just, like, so confident in who she is. But that's probably the mental illness that was, like, at the forefront of everything she was doing. I think the main idea that I can see is that men suck ass.
My God, that's literally what I wrote. Men
literally are the worst, and we should be the ones in power. I especially hated the almost rape scenes and her being like beaten up and like that fear that she could feel that she was going to be raped. And also Bartolomeo's torture scene, because that's fucking insane.
I know.
The fact that they're like, we're doing this in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Religion, God does not exist. You just use that as like a scapegoat to do the fucked up things that you want to do.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. We had really similar takeaways.
It's so true though. Like when you watch this, like even though I'm not the biggest fan of the movie, like it is crazy when you watch movies that take time in this like place and it's just like, this actually happened to these poor women.
No.
Sorry, what is your takeaway?
Men suck and they always have.
Yes.
That was my first key takeaway. And then religion is pretty much always a cult. And it causes so much trauma to people and literal wars and deaths and rapes. And it's crazy that people defend it.
I know.
I mean –
all in the name of God. It has always caused
so many problems. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Similar takeaways. what would you rate this movie out of 5?
I do think that parts of this movie were really educational. I learned things.
Yeah, I learned things too.
Yeah. So, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 cherries.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say I'm doing a 4 or something.
No. I was going to give it a 2 because I think it was too long. When I was watching it, so I was like, oh, my God, can this fucking end?
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it after I watched it, the more I thought I did learn things. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an important film.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the sex scenes, as you could tell. I was like, you have to explain the thing with the nightgown like and the fingers not being long enough. And then she has to carve the thing. And I was like, I don't know. So I liked it, I think, more than I first thought. So I give it a 3.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I know. I just glossed over it. That was like, oh, it's not important to me.
Because when I was watching it, I texted Angie and was like, I hate this fucking movie. It sucks. And then like, the more I thought about it, the more I didn't hate it. if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram or TikTok and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There is a link to submit in the description of this episode, as well as on our link tree on all social media pages. Visit our Patreon and get access to ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more. Okay, welcome back. Today we are doing a What's Up with the Hetero segment.
Yes. And as you guys know, our What's Up with the Hetero segments are always crazy.
Yeah.
This one I think is a little crazy too. So, am I the asshole for ending my relationship without confronting my boyfriend after what I found in his house? So, I, 30 female, had been with my boyfriend for just over 2 years. Our relationship had been difficult for a while because he was very avoidant. He often told me he didn't know how he felt about me and seemed afraid of committing, even though he had a house that was ready for him to move into. Despite all of that, I was still trying to make things work. I bought him a brand new bedspread and went to his house to help him set up his bedroom because I wanted it to feel more like home for him. While I was there, I accidentally found a sex toy that had a receipt showing it had been purchased in May. That immediately stood out to me because we hadn't been intimate since December. I looked in a closet where I knew he had kept some sexual items in the past. I found women's clothing that was much too large for me and recently bought in the last 6 months when we haven't been together. There were also receipts from shopping trips to the city that he had never taken with me. My first reaction wasn't that he was cross-dressing. It was that he was cheating. I called my friend crying because I thought I just found another woman's things. My friend came over and helped me look more closely. As we went through the items, it became clear that they had appeared to be his, not another woman's. There were breast forms and a thing that makes it look like the guy has a vagina. So then I found 2 used condoms stored in one of the boxes. At that point, I felt like everything I thought I knew about the relationship had been turned upside down. It wasn't the cross-dressing itself that made me leave. It was the realizing that he had been hiding a significant part of his life from me, combined with finding the condoms and already feeling emotionally disconnected for months. I didn't confront him. I quietly put everything back as I found it, packed up every box and belonging I still had at his house, left his keys on the table, unfriended him on Facebook, Oof. And left. I haven't contacted him since, and I don't plan to. Part of me wonders if I should have given him a chance to explain. Another part of me feels like after 2 years together, I shouldn't have had to discover something this significant by accident, especially when I was trying to do something nice for him. So am I the asshole for ending the relationship without confronting him after what I found? And then there's an edit. Do you want to read that edit?
Yeah. So there's kind of like an update edit. It says, okay, for one, this was not on my 2026 bingo card. It sounds like a damn comedy movie more than my life. And for 2, I have had numerous conversations with him, begging him to tell me what was going on. And he would always tell me some problem with myself. We were just over 2 years together. Our anniversary was in February. I had a key and he knew I was coming over to set up a gift. I didn't snoop until I was putting the room together and found a sex toy with a newly dated receipt. I called my friend crying and she rushed over because she was worried and mad that he was cheating on me. For the last year and a half, he barely talked to me. Anytime I would communicate, he would avoid or he would tell me that I won't like it and I'll probably leave him anyways. And we found a card that showed he had a dominatrix in the stuff we found. So I have some thoughts on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think they're both assholes, right?
Yeah.
But I think this was an interesting one to choose for what's up with the heteros, because I feel that probably a queer woman in a relationship with this guy would be more open to having a discussion about what she found. But I think her straightness clouded her, like, empathy, where she was like, that's fucking weird. He's weird. He has an outfit to make him look like a woman. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be with him, but I also don't want to, like, confront him about it. Whereas I think that most queer people would be like, while he's really struggling with something, like, is he maybe trans?
Yeah.
Is this just cross-dressing, or is this that he, you know, has been pulling away because maybe he does think he's trans?
Yeah.
And I think he's an asshole for hiding things from her, but I also see how, like, society is very, like, it's just very aggressive towards men that don't fit into a stereotype of, like, what a man should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he is someone who will continue to identify as a man but is cross-dressing, I could see how he would feel, like, scared for his girlfriend to know that, especially because she does seem kind of judgmental about things like this. Like, maybe she has said things about trans people or queer people before, and he knows that it's not safe. So I do think, you know, he's a jerk that he was hiding it from her, and their relationship seemed really weird and not that close anyway. Like, they hadn't had sex in, like, months, and they were, like, not living together.
They were distant. Like, they both weren't communicating.
Yeah.
Or at least she was trying to get him to say, like, what was going on. But like you said, or continue. I'll tell you after.
I think that he was an asshole for not like telling her, but also I think the way that she reacted when she found out is the reason why he would not tell her, you know, because obviously she was not okay with him, you know, potentially questioning his identity.
Yeah.
So I think she is an asshole. And this brings me to another thing that I want to talk about that I've been seeing online a lot lately. There's been this discourse, which I didn't know about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a lesbian, but apparently there are a lot of issues where straight women refuse to date bisexual men because they are, like, bisexual men are basically just like gay mm-hmm. or like they're going to give me a disease is what I'm hearing, which is mm-hmm. also like really weird and homophobic. Like, mm-hmm. and I think that it goes back to a lot of straight women are really homophobic. And we think mostly about men, straight men being homophobic mm-hmm. because that's where you see a lot of the like actual like hate crimes and aggression. Mm-hmm. But a lot of straight women are really homophobic. But they use their words to say yeah. to, instead of beating somebody, yeah. you know. But I do think, you know, that's fucked up. Like, obviously, everyone can have preferences. But just because a person is bisexual does not mean that they are promiscuous mm-hmm. and doesn't mean even if they are promiscuous that they are not able to be in a committed relationship with one person and mm-hmm. or that they are having unprotected sex. And I think it's really weird and homophobic to be like, I can't be with a bi man because he might have AIDS and then give it to me because mm-hmm. he has sex with men, or to assume that a bisexual person cannot be monogamous, which mm-hmm. I see all over the board. I don't mm-hmm. know why people have this idea. Anytime someone is bisexual, there's this idea like, oh, maybe she'll have a threesome. Maybe mm-hmm. he'll have a threesome with me. He's going to cheat on me with mm-hmm. everybody. And it's like, just because someone is bi or pan
doesn't mean that
like, they're poly. And yeah. it's like, it's just a reminder that people are really fucking stupid because mm-hmm. they can't figure things out like that in mm-hmm. their mind. And yeah, being on TikTok is like a reminder of how the majority of people in the world, especially in America, are really fucking dumb. Like, honestly, they cannot tell the difference between words. And when you literally tell them the definitions or tell them, like, to look them up, mm-hmm. they, like, don't do it. And it's like,
or they only take part of it.
Yes, it's the literacy crisis that is for real happening in America yeah. where, like, people are not comprehending or, like, they're not understanding, like, mm-hmm. what they're reading, or they're only understanding parts of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that reminded me of that. But she just seems like one of those women that would be homophobic and transphobic and yeah. wouldn't be a safe person. So I think she is an asshole and she should have confronted him about it. But
I feel like, yeah, I feel like, yeah, they both are. She yeah. definitely should have, like, especially the way she made it sound like we've been in this relationship for over 2 years now. Like, our anniversary was this, whatever. But it's like, okay, don't you want to at least have a conversation and hear his side? And even if you're made up in your mind that, like, I'm mad that he lied to me, so I'm going to confront him but also break up with him. Mm-hmm. I think they both owe it to each other to have that out in the open, because then maybe yeah. he will be like, okay, that's not a thing I should have hid from you. But also, I didn't feel comfortable sharing that with you. Yeah. No matter how many times you asked me what was going on, like, I just felt like I couldn't share that with you. Either he doesn't feel comfortable with her or he's just not ready himself.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think they're both the assholes, honestly. And I know yeah. she said, like, I didn't leave because it was the cross-dressing. I left because he lied to me. But I'm like, I think sometimes there are things that you are, like, trying to come to terms with on your own, and it's very confusing. And yeah, he should have told her, but also I definitely think it was the cross-dressing that she was like, I yeah. can't deal with this. I'm leaving. So if you're watching this, which would be funny if they are, you're the asshole.
Yeah, I'm like, I highly doubt it.
Well, if you're watching this, yeah. but yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're both the asshole.
They're both assholes.
Weird okay. trivia.
Woo! Okay.
Let's see if we get it right.
Girl, probably not.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe you.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like I don't believe in you. But.
No, it's okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you'll know this. I know this. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What is the name of the first multi-season YouTube series hosted by Trixie Mattel and Katya Zamolodchikova? Is it A, I Like to Watch, B, C, Trixie Mattel, D, The Pit Stop?
Ah, oh, fuck. I'm going to say D.
No.
Was it C?
No.
Was it B?
It's B. It's ah.
My okay. bad.
My favorite. Okay. Well, I really love to watch it. Mm-hmm. So we would watch it whenever there would be new ones. But one time we were watching a video and this guy was saying, like, Trixie and Katya have a show called Oon, and it's my favorite Oon. Show. And so we always joke about it and call it Oon. But yeah, the point of it was that they would, like, at the beginning, they would be like, this is Trixie and Katya, whatever. They'd be like, welcome to But, like, it's spelled
oh
like,
my God.
Like this. Like Kissy? Like, U-N-H-H-H.
Oh, okay. So he's like,
I just thought it was funny that he was like, Oon.
Oon.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna pick this one. Okay. Who wrote The Well of Loneliness, a controversial and groundbreaking lesbian novel?
This is on my to-be-read list.
Published in 1928. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it A, Una Vincenzo, Lady Trowbridge, D, Radcliffe Hall, C, Joan Ogden, D, Stephen Gordon?
It's Radcliffe Hall.
Yes.
Yeah. I was looking for what book I was going to read next, and I want to make sure that it was a lesbian-ish book so I could talk about it on Literary Lesbians. Mm-hmm. But I didn't end up choosing that one. Oh. I wanted a newer one.
But it's on your, like,
It's on my TBR. Okay. But the book that, well, I will tell you, I'm probably not going to talk about this book that I'm reading on, unless I finish it really fast, on the next Literary Lesbians, because I have a book I've read in the past that I really want to talk about that I really like. But the book I'm reading right now is called Patricia Wants to Cuddle.
Okay.
And I didn't read it for a long time because I was like, huh? Like, the premise seemed, like, weird. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, I like weird things.
Like, girl, fuck it, I'll read it.
Yeah, I was like, I really liked that book that I think I talked about. Now I can't remember the name, the one with the fungus and the person that was like albino they were blind and they had twins. And that book was so like random, like I wouldn't have picked it. Mm-hmm. And I also, let me tell you about another book I just read, even though that wasn't part of this, because it doesn't fit under Literary Lesbians, but it is a queer, I would say, yeah, it's queer. It the main character is a trans woman in this book. It's called Disappoint Me by Nicole Dinan or Dinan. Oh my God, it was so good. And I wouldn't have chosen it because it sounded like a little bit boring to me.
You're like, yeah.
But in my work book club, my friend, now we have four people, but we did have two people.
Cool.
So it was just my one friend. She was like, oh, I heard about this book. I would never have chosen it, but it's so good. It's about... So the main character is a trans woman in like London, and she meets this guy, and anyway, he has like a secret. Mm-hmm. And so we find out what the secret is. So it does kind of like draw you in because you're like, well, what is the thing? And then it's one of those books where it goes between her side of the story and his side of the story.
Oh, it's like both perspectives.
Yes, and
okay,
it
cool.
also goes like back in time. Like it's like his – when the thing happened or whatever, that is the secret.
I was like, oh my God.
In like current time.
Okay.
But it's really, really good. I really liked it. I looked up, there's one other book, I think by Nicole Dinan. Mm-hmm. And now I want to read it. I think it's about gay men. It's called Bellies. I haven't read it yet because I usually only like to read lesbian things. Okay. But since I liked Disappoint Me so much,
you were
and it
like...
was a little outside of my norm that I would read. I was like, I just like her style of writing. So.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a good book.
Yes. Okay. So you guys got kind of a twofer because I basically gave you book recommendations
like, I know.
As well.
Also, the book that you were talking about was Sorrowland.
Yes! By Rivers Solomon. I was like, I kept remembering the author's name. I was
yeah,
like,
but the
Rivers.
Name of it. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like and share on every platform that you're on and leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch and we're just two lesbians with mics trying to survive.
Yes. So tune in next week where we will be going over a fan favorite, A League of Their Own. This 1992 film isn't overtly sapphic, which... sucks, but I mean, there's a lot of subtext.
We all know that the majority
exactly.
of the All-American Girls Baseball League
were gay.
Were gay.
Yeah, so we, as lesbians, we have to review this movie, okay?
Yes.
This movie is available on Netflix.
Yes, so we will
see you next Tuesday.
Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.